This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 50-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Wednesday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio, and the Top 5 at 5 brought to you this afternoon by National RX. Here once again is Jake Miller.
Thank you, Russell. Up first, Tennessee Titans running back Derrick Henry took another step towards being activated before their divisional playoff matchup against the Cincinnati Bengals. The team held a padded practice Tuesday, and Henry took some bumps and bangs. Looks like he's going to be a go.
The king is back, rested, relaxed, ready to roll. Your problem to deal with, Bengals. Hope you're ready.
And number two, Tennessee Vols football team has another future opponent to add, this time for the 2029 and 2030 seasons. The Vols will host the Washington Huskies in 2029 and will travel to Seattle in 2030.
You guys up for a road trip to Seattle?
Oh, 35-year-old Jake, 50-year-old Russ, and 60-something-year-old Bear.
Let's go.
Yeah, that's how you think you're real cute with that one.
I didn't lie, did I?
Just stick it where the sun don't shine, Jake.
Oh!
Go on to the top. Go, get on to the top.
Bear, we're not going to do this again, are we?
No, I'm not being ugly.
Calm down.
He's been real cute about that one.
Calm down.
You're real funny, Jake.
I don't know your exact age, I guess. And
apparently,
I'm right.
Now, what's going to happen in this matchup? Is Heupel still going to be? That's like two or three coaches down the road for us. With our luck, Chris Peterson will probably have come out of retirement like 2 years prior, and they'll be in the playoff hunt by the time we take those guys on. Do you like this? Is this a good matchup? I mean, it's interesting. We haven't played them before. That's a You know, we always want.
I like it a hell of a lot better than playing East Tennessee State.
Okay.
I was going to say we've played them.
I love the home and homes.
I was going to say we had played them. That was Washington State.
It's interesting. I would like to know how this series came about, what the backstory is there, and why Washington. But I guess I'm for it. It's a neat little intersectional matchup, and it's fun.
It was fun. And number three, former Ohio State, Miami, and UNLV quarterback Tate Martell is retired from football. Martell will focus on business ventures moving forward.
Boy, it just never came together for that guy, huh?
Where did he play?
Ohio State, Miami, UNLV. Wasn't he committed to somewhere else?
Georgia, maybe?
Yeah, it's, I mean, a cautionary tale.
Like five schools.
Right? I mean, here's a guy that, and who knows if he was ever going to live up to the billing, five-star guy coming out of high school and everything, but when you bounce around like that, you don't get a chance to develop. You're listening to different coaches, learning different systems constantly, and it's so hard to tell young people to slow down, let it develop, let it come. But that's just it's unless you're in a toxic situation, you have a terrible relationship with your coach, or it's just not a good fit systematically, I just think you're always better at least give it 2 years before you just up and bolt like that. But
I mean, this guy's just a spoiled brat.
I mean, he couldn't stay put anywhere for more than 6 months.
No, he didn't get to play. He got mad and he quit and left.
Not a
Did
lot
we
of,
recruit him at all?
I think everybody recruited him a little bit, but I don't know if it was serious at all between Tennessee and him.
And number four, the Tennessee men's tennis team has climbed to the number one ranking in the ITA. This comes after defeating number three TCU and moving to 3-0 on the season. Now, that's a coach that needs more credit than what he gets.
Chris, yeah, what's the ITA?
Intercollegiate Tennis Association.
Huh.
Beard and Zone, Chris Woodruff, doing a fantastic job.
5 years, he is 88-23.
Woo!
And 28-11 in conference play.
That was kind of a controversial move when they fired Sam Winterbottom a couple of years ago. It's like, really? That guy's done okay. It's tennis or whatever, but move has certainly paid off.
Absolutely. And number five, Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach Bruce Arians has been fined $50,000 by the NFL for swiping his hand at safety Andrew Adams' helmet during the wild card game against Philadelphia on Sunday.
He's planning on, I saw where he's planning on appealing it. What did the young man do that triggered the head swat?
So Arians was attempting to move Adams, who was trying to pull a player out of a pile after a muff punt and would have drawn a penalty. And then,
yeah, because he was pulling on, an Eagles player, and that's a penalty in the NFL.
Yeah.
It was kind of Woody Hazy. Like, he didn't punch him underneath the helmet. He just slapped at the helmet, but it was kind of Woody-ish in the way that he's just running in, and you can tell, like, he's not really thinking about it. Just reacting.
No, not at all.
Nah, he's pissed. You're going to get a big penalty. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't have fined him. But, you know, these are the times we live in now.
All right. Thank you, Jake. That is the top five at five. It's brought to you by National RX, where the discount continues. We've been telildyou about it, folks. Sildenafil, the active ingredient in Viagra. Don't let ED keep you down, fellas. 50 cents a tablet. That's right, 50 cents a tablet. And we heard from somebody just yesterday who did, you know, this is judgment-free zone. Anonymity is paramount. Somebody said, hey, you know, they had this prescription and it cost they basically cut their price in a third. They get sildenafil every month, a 30-day supply. 50 cents a tablet. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? All you have to do is tell them you heard about it on the drive. Talk to your doctor. Get your prescription filled. If you're like this other guy and you're paying too much for it somewhere else, call over to National RX. Get your prescription switched around and get it filled there. Tell them Fan Run sent you. They'll take great care of you. 865-392-1770, National RX. Visit them online, nationalrx.com. The unheard-of price of just 50 cents a tablet. You must tell them you heard about it on the drive at National RX, Farragut's Neighborhood Community Pharmacy. They've also got a few of those COVID tests left, the at-home tests. I know a lot of people, we've already talked, our first two callers today said they're out with the Rona. And a lot of that stuff going around. You can get the at-home tests, National RX. Find out if you had it. Don't stand in line with a bunch of other sick people for 2 hours to find out if you had it. Just go over to National RX. I believe they're $20 a pop for the at-home test. It's worth it. Stay out of those lines, in my humble opinion.
You don't want to go to the ER for a COVID test. Which no, apparently that people are doing.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a...
Wait, why are they... Why?
People go to the ER
for anything.
People
are getting cold symptoms and apparently just showing up the ER wanting to get tested for COVID.
No, you can do it on your own now. All right, folks, we are open lines the rest of the way. If you want to jump in, take a shot now, 865-546-8200. Your number to get up with us. A lot of Tennessee basketball talk, obviously. Huge win last night for the Basketball Vols as they stave off disaster against Vanderbilt and win the ninth game in a row against the Commodores. So now the attention turns to Saturday. This is a huge game coming up at Thompson Bowling Arena. Should be a great home court advantage. Let's fill up the Tommy Bowl. 6 p.m. tip Saturday night. Will Wade is in town, and a real opportunity for Tennessee basketball to get this season back on track. And I don't know if back on track is the right word. It's just on track. I mean, so far it's been sort of meh. it hasn't been bad, but it hasn't been really good either. They've just been a team that's beaten the teams they're supposed to beat and lost to the teams they're quote-unquote supposed to lose to. Is there another?
It'd be nice to get a little jolt.
This would give you a jolt. Is there another level of play that this team can reach? If there is, I mean, eventually they're going to have to start winning some of these games. And I really think these next three games you look at, LSU at home, Florida at home, a struggling Texas team on the road, those are three quality winnable games that you can get. They're going to need the crowd behind them these next two. And they're still figuring some things out. I saw Rod Clark, the new assistant, had what I thought was a pretty good tweet and a pretty good analysis of the situation just a few hours ago on Twitter. He said, "Last night, those two young freshman point guards carried us down the stretch. Stepped up big time on the road to get us an SEC win. You got to love and appreciate that. Z and KC are growing along with the rest of our team. Growth is the goal, not the completion. We're still coming. Hashtag GBO.
I kind of can get down with that. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, not to go all Nick Saban on you, but you focus on the process of getting better. You're not going to go from what Tennessee showed Saturday at Kentucky to team capable of making a Final Four run in one game or 1 week or even 1 month. But if you can learn these little lessons and just keep getting a little bit better, I think this team can be dangerous by the time we get to March. I don't think they're very dangerous right now. I think they're a tough out. But they're going to get dangerous. They've got to learn how to put it together. And we saw it again last night. Fine defensive performance. Offensive performance left a lot to be desired. And so they've got to figure out a way to bring both offense and defense simultaneously. They just haven't been able to do that yet. Let's get Austin in here. Hello, Austin. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
All right, so I love talking basketball, baseball, football, but I really want to, like, hit on the important stuff today. I want to go back to the Waffle House and Cracker Barrel debate, because apparently I missed that. Be honest with me. Name one thing that Waffle House actually does better than Cracker Barrel.
Waffles.
It's impossible. Can't
do it. Waffles, oh, okay. Scrambled eggs.
Wait,
hash
do
browns.
You even have? Wait, now,
scrambled
hold on.
Scrambled eggs are not better.
Does Cracker Barrel have waffles?
That's just asinine. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Think so?
I don't think they do.
Now,
they
hold
pancakes.
On just a second. Here, let's not all talk at once for us. Go ahead.
What? Thank you, Bear. Waffle House or Cracker Barrel does not have. Bear hates it when people try and talk over him. He finds it distracting. He wishes that people would just wait their turn and not just talk over each other. That is very obnoxious to him. I think waffles are the only thing that Waffle House definitely does better because Cracker Barrel doesn't have waffles.
Exactly.
I've just always found Cracker Barrel's scrambled eggs to be flavorless. They take a lot of doctoring.
I feel like it's like a glass of water whenever I'm, like, basically drinking Waffle House's eggs. I mean, it's all liquid. They're terrible. And don't, like, hit me with, like, oh, well, with the hash browns, you can, like, add chili and cheese. Adding ingredients doesn't make any, like, it doesn't make it better. Like, it's just a mishmash of garbage, to be quite frank.
Wow.
I mean, like, you go to Cracker Barrel, it's classy. Like, it's what I'm looking for, and, like, don't hit me also with, like, oh, what's a great 2 a.m. restaurant. Go to Crystal. It's way better than Waffle House.
And for that, I salute you.
Okay, so here's an interesting thought, and I am Team Cracker Barrel in this debate, although I do still have a special place in my heart for the Waffle House.
You're a turco.
Consider this. You cannot go on a date to Cracker Barrel. However, you can have a very romantic meal at Waffle House. There have been, now, generally it's the morning after, but you could take the missus to Waffle House. I don't, like, you don't go to Cracker, you're not, hey baby, let's go to Cracker Barrel, right?
I'm going to have to humbly disagree with that.
Okay.
Namely because during my courting days,
uh-huh,
this lovely lady who is now my wife, we went to Cracker Barrel numerous times. Still do to this very day.
So, well, so do I. I love to take the family. And my wife and I went to Cracker Barrel by ourselves without the kids a couple of weeks ago. But I would say, like, you, that's not something you plan. It's like, hey, baby, like, Friday night, you and me out on the town, we're calling a babysitter or we're going out, you know, put on your best dress. We're going to Cracker Barrel.
Oh, I'll show up in a two-piece suit.
Yeah, if you don't think that the Friday fish fry isn't like black tie candlelight stuff, you got another thing coming.
All right, maybe I'm being elitist here. I sit corrected.
That's okay. Well, I mean, that was basically all I had, guys. But Russell, it was good to meet you at walk-ons a couple of weeks ago. It was only for like 2 minutes. My plan was to stay a little bit longer, but there was no seats at that bar. It was a very awkward meet and greet, but it was very nice to meet you.
Now, were you at the one for the bowl game or the Kentucky?
Yeah, okay. I showed up right after halftime, and then I awkwardly left because there was nowhere to sit. But,
yeah, well, that was on us. We were kind of working through that. The one Saturday was much better. We had some dedicated space up near the bar so that people could kind of like stand and mill around because, it's packed out for those games. So, I mean, like a good table is hard to come by, but we're hoping to do one for the Texas game. That's going to be a Saturday night. So, you know, my suggestion is if you want to eat, like get there a little early and eat and then come hang out. We'll have our spot up in the corner. We'll be perched up in the bar, watching the game.
Sure. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Austin. Nice meeting you as well. We're going to take a quick timeout. 865-546-8200. The Drive continues. Back with more after this.
The Drive.
So you're watching. Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Russell Barrett, Jake cruising along with you. Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. A big basketball game last night. An even bigger one coming up Saturday night. We have the NFL playoffs coming up. But all anybody wants to talk about, and opinions are hated, is Waffle House versus Cracker Barrel. Vol in Birmingham says, is that last guy basing his choice off of eggs? Literally the simplest breakfast food to make. What a simpleton.
Ouch.
I mean, I've always found Cracker Barrel scrambled eggs to be very bland. You got to do a lot of doctoring when they get served up to you at the table. And they're scrambled eggs with cheese. I feel like, I don't know how you guys feel, but kind of lazy. They do the deal where they scramble the eggs and then just throw a slice of cheese on top. They don't cook the cheese up with the scrambled eggs.
Kind of like
it loses.
I'm an over easy, over medium type of guy. I stopped eating scrambled eggs, and I mean, if people make me scrambled eggs, I'll have some. But I feel like a man eats his eggs over easy, over medium.
Nah,
can't eat those fake eggs.
Fake eggs.
Yeah.
What are fake eggs? You buy like egg white stuff that they like pour it on there?
The powdered eggs that you just...
Oh, oh. No.
Who's eating powdered eggs? Well, they don't use them at either place. So, I mean, I'm not sure about Cracker Barrel because they've got a closed kitchen, Jake. But
I think we got rid of those after World War II, Miller. I mean,
no, they still exist. I have to watch where I eat because I'm allergic to them.
Oh, God.
Well, they don't serve them at Waffle House.
Bill says the golf tee game is for the intellectual crowd. It's actually there to keep kids and grandkids busy while parents and grandparents take a breather from driving for hours on the busy interstate.
Interesting.
Holly says Waffle House wipes the floor with Cracker Barrel, which is ironic because Waffle House doesn't actually wipe the floor.
That's gross.
I feel like that's a cheap shot.
Rusty says everything at Waffle House is public info. Food and drinks are cooked and prepared in front of you. I have always admired that. Like, you kind of know what you're getting. You you don't have to worry about them dropping your food on the floor and putting it back on the plate at Waffle House. They can't get away with that. It's all right there in front of you.
That doesn't mean they won't do it.
It's kind of fun to sit and watch how they cook all that stuff up.
Let's go back to the phones. Jeff is next. Good afternoon, Jeff.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas.
What up?
Hey, it's been a little bit since I've been to Waffle House. Last time I went, though, I had to make sure I didn't get fat in the heater section. Are they still letting folks just smoke it out in there?
No, not for years.
It might depend on the state.
Yeah, it's been a long time since you've been to Waffle House. I can't remember. I feel like at least 10 years, probably 15, maybe even 20, since you've been able to smoke in a Waffle House?
Since like 2004, 2005, I think.
Yeah, I bet.
Boy, when you could, though. That's a good cigarette after a Waffle House meal.
They probably had some waitress attrition once they dropped that rule. You can't smoke.
Oh, man. That's very judgmental of you, Jeff. Not all Waffle House waitresses
go ahead,
smoke.
Jay. That's kind of an industry-wide restaurant bar. If you look at the numbers of smokers that work at restaurants and bars.
I'll tell you another thing. I did go there probably 7, 8, whatever years ago, and they the waffles looks like they've shrunk on them. It's about like me in a cold ice water, you know?
Cut out on that last part. Have the Waffle House waffles gotten smaller? I feel like they've been pretty consistent through the years.
Yeah. I mean, they aren't replacing those. Have you ever seen how much those waffle irons cost that they use?
Well, they're plate-sized. You know, they about fill that perfect yeah. Waffle House plate, of which you can fit roughly 18.6 on one standard Waffle House table.
Yeah, and you could make sure you know who to call if your AC breaks down with all the ads on the table, too. That's kind of helpful.
I think you're talking about Wendy's now. Ads on the table? What are you talking about? At Waffle House?
Don't they have, like, ads, like, imprinted on the top of the table?
No, they're like brown.
No, I want to say I've seen that too.
Maybe it's Huddle Houses or something. But hey, actually, this is riveting conversation. I didn't call for that reason. I was going to talk about the game last night and kind of a troublesome trend I'm starting to see. And I think it is sort of ties into our offensive woes. You know, Chandler, first of all, he made a lot of good defensive, a lot for his turnovers. He probably made it up with his steals and just his athletic ability jumping in the passing lane. But, you know, there was a couple occasions, maybe he did it a couple times, maybe even Vescovi did it a couple times, you know, passing the ball around and drove in and drew some players, some defenders. And my man, the Ginger, was wide open, and we didn't dish it to him. Yeah. And we've got to give him. I'm like Christopher Walken in the Cowbell skit. The only thing that could make my fever go away is more Justin Powell shooting three balls.
Yeah, yeah. There was. I think it was Chandler's last turnover. He had five of them, where he drove baseline and he tries to hit a bounce pass to Urosh, which is like an automatic turnover. And he had Powell open for a corner three, and who knows if he would have made it, but it's a much more, you know, at least you're going to get the shot up in that situation if you go to Powell. So, I mean, that's why he got benched. He had five turnovers and five steals. Well, that cancels each other out. I mean, five steals is a great stat line, but if you have turned it over five times, I mean, you're just giving it right back. And that's why he was riding the pine at crunch time. So hopefully it was a valuable lesson learned, and he cleans that up because he's a good player, and Tennessee needs him out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to get off here, but I did want to congratulate the guys on hitting free throws. You probably mentioned it. We don't win that game if we don't hit that many free throws from the stripe. So hopefully that improves or continues to improve. Great show, guys.
Thank you, Jeff. 86% from the line for Tennessee last night. That was a welcome relief. And he's right. Tennessee probably loses that game if they throw up their usual 67% or whatever it has been before tonight. Folks, each win means that much more in the NFL playoffs. That's why FanDuel is hooking new customers up with 30-1 enhanced odds for the divisional playoffs. Bet five to win $150 on any team to win any divisional playoff game. So you could go and bet on the Titans. You can bet on the Packers, I believe, are the biggest favorite this weekend. They're catching 6 points at home against the 49ers. Whatever game you want to put it on, Bucks, Rams, Chiefs, Bills, if you've been riding the fence about joining FanDuel, this is the time to get off the fence and get in the game with 30-1 enhanced odds for the divisional playoffs. It's simple. Just download the app, sign up with our promo code DRIVE1 to unlock those 30-1 odds and turn a simple $5 bet into $150. If you're already a member, you get that $50 referral free. When you bring in a friend, your friend's going to get $50 too. Don't miss your chance to win this weekend the divisional playoffs in the National Football League. Use our promo code DRIVE1 when signing up and download the FanDuel Sportsbook to get started today. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. Andy is up next on The Drive. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Hey, doing well. Thank you.
So, of course, I got to weigh in on the Waffle House Cracker Barrel take. Nice. I mean, I thought this is a legendary topic from yesterday. I love it. But for some reason, this makes sense in my mind, and I'll just put this out there. And I don't mean any disrespect by this. I love both of these restaurants, okay?
Okay.
But if I had to make a comparison, and I don't know why it makes sense to me, but Cracker Barrel, in my mind, is like the Oprah Dr. Phil show. And then Waffle House is more like Springer Povich, right? Morning show.
That's actually a really good comparison.
That's actually really good.
I mean, you might see some hands get thrown at Waffle House, and you're there for it, man. Sometimes you need to throw some hands yourself, or you need to see a little action, you know? Far less likely at the Cracker Barrel. You roll up to Waffle House, your cook is out front probably firing up a heater, and he don't care who sees it. They do it at Cracker Barrel, but it's in the privacy behind the back door. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and like Oprah, Dr. Phil, and Jerry Springer, you know that stuff is bad for you. You know it's stupid. You know it doesn't improve your life at all, and it's a waste of time, and there are many other valuable things you could be doing with the time that you're going to be devoting to it. But sometimes you just got to do it, right, Andy? Sometimes you just you want to turn your brain off and just, oh, yeah, just plug it right in. And just let me just completely zone out and indulge my worst tendencies.
Oh, yeah. And secretly at the Waffle House that gets forgotten about a lot is you can get their, you can get the omelets in the ring. That's sneaky good. I don't know if that's been discussed or has been forgotten here.
I'm sorry, what now? Omelets in the rain? The rain or the ring?
In the ring. The ring.
The ring. What is the
they
ring?
They cook it all in a ring and it locks in. If you're giving in to your, if you're just saying to heck with it, I'm going to go wild, the ring is something that they have that's not on the menu, like a secret thing.
What?
And they cook it in this like metal ring and it locks in like extra grease in your food. Like you can get your hash browns in it. You can get your omelet cooked in it that way.
Wait, it like Bear, were you aware of this? The ring, the omelets in the ring?
I mean, I've seen the rings before. I never realized what they were for. I always thought they used them when they were, you know, really busy and had a lot of stuff going down on the griddle, and they want to keep stuff separate. I didn't realize it was some kind of secret menu item.
Wow.
Yeah, they'll cook it all in it for you, and it's phenomenal. But
do you have to act? Is it like entering a speakeasy? Is there a code word that you have to say to your Waffle House waitress to unlock the secrets of the ring?
I mean, mine know it. They know what it is because I've ordered it there before. I don't get it like that all the time.
And you just like so if I wanted this, I would just go and say, "Hey, I want an omelet in the ring. Put everything in there."
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Or you can get your hash browns that way too.
What is the ring? Is this like a wok? Is it a special pot?
No,
or something?
It's like a metal. You know how they cook the eggs for the Egg McMuffin at McDonald's with those rings?
No.
It's like a metal.
You don't watch a lot of YouTube.
It's basically a big metal ring.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's as much as your wife bakes, I guarantee you've got something that looks similar to it somewhere in one of your cabinets.
It's
just like a metal ring.
It's the grease from dispersing. How you cook things and the grease kind of disperses somewhat away from it a little bit when you cook the grease out of it. It seals that in. So, extra flavor.
Oh, secret menu items are the best.
But anyway, I guess it depends on how old your cookie is, too, if it's still a thing. But also, one other thing I want to bring up sports-wise. I haven't heard your take on the Titans this weekend, Dubsy. How are you feeling? How are you feeling about our matchup?
Cautiously optimistic. I think if they could take care of the football. Look, Cincinnati's going to score points, man. I mean, that's just the way it is. Like, I don't think that the Titans can expect to stop them in their tracks. They've got to take care of the ball. They can't have stupid penalties and everything. I think that Tannehill has got to, when he has the opportunities, he's got to take advantage, man. And that's what happened in the playoff game last year. He had a couple of opportunities for big plays, and he just couldn't put it on the money. And he's got to come through, man, because you're not going to win this weekend with average quarterback play. It's got to be a little bit better.
Right. I'm worried. I would say I'm worried about momentum. Are you worried about momentum at all with Henry coming back in?
Yeah. I mean,
all that chemistry.
Yeah. A little bit.
I'd be more worried about Joe Burrow picking apart the Titans secondary with, I mean, Jamar Chase is playing out of his mind. If T. Higgins, if he gets, if he can get both those guys up and going, they're tough to defend.
I'm very nervous about that. With him saying that, just kind of F it, I threw it up. You know, that makes me nervous. If they've got that chemistry going against us, our secondary's been susceptible at times.
Yeah, pass rush can be key.
And granted, we're healthy now.
Got to get in his face.
Have y'all heard from Titans William on the issue yet? Or are y'all beeping with him? Has he called in? What's going on with that?
No, we have not heard from Titans Bill in forever, it seems like, Russ. Maybe Jake
not.
Wasn't so mean to him.
Yeah,
he might call him more
Jake,
often.
Jake, I mean, if you'd be nice to poor Titans Bill.
I don't think I've ever said anything bad about Titans Bill or even mentioned him for that matter.
Well, he's an old buddy of mine, and I kind of feel like you guys haven't treated him very nice.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, I feel like Martin would have already came out and stabbed me or shot me by now, but I've never said anything about Titans Bill.
Andy, we got a split, man. Go wrap up for us.
Okay, I just wanted to – basically my end of it was, Titans Bill, if you're out there, the people want to hear you. I don't know if you have beef with anybody on the show, but call in and let us know what you think about the matchup, buddy. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it. APB out for Titanic William. Stay with us. The drive continues. We'll find out who's on the docket. Brought to you by Fox and Farmer Attorneys at Law. More of your phone calls on the way as well. When we continue right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Hey, guys. All right, time for the docket brought to you by Fox and Farmer Attorneys at Law. The University of Michigan has agreed to pay $490 million in damages to the more than 1,000 former students, mostly male, who said they were sexually abused by sports doctor Robert Anderson. Announcement coming today after 15 months of mediation and appeared to close the book on one of the nation's biggest sex abuse scandals, which involved several generations of victims going back to the 1960s.
Wow.
This story did not receive, I feel like, as much coverage. I think a lot of people who follow sports closely had heard about it, but it's sad because, you know, the Penn State thing and the Michigan State thing with Sandusky and Nassar received so much coverage. And I guess, you know, some of the victims were a little bit younger in those particular cases, but I mean, this
and
was,
especially with Nassar, because it was, it was a lot of young, like, female gymnasts that a lot of people in the country knew because of watching them in the Olympics.
Yeah, and it's disgusting. But to me, it's all disgusting. It's all unfathomable. It's all gross. But, you know, I think there's a stigma, you know, football players, these big, tough guys. And, like, I just can't imagine the pressure on those young men that they felt to, you know, keep their mouth shut. And this monster was running loose on campus under Bo Schembechler. And evidently he knew about it and they kind of knew about it and just turned the other cheek, man. And it's, I don't want to say interesting. It's sad to me that, you know, this is kind of, I don't want to say swept under the rug, but it does not spark near the outrage that the other two scandals sparked. To me, it's just as gross.
Mm-hmm.
Elsewhere, closer to home, a federal lawsuit filed against Park West Hospital in Knoxville and Covenant Health alleges a deaf patient could have avoided having his leg partially amputated if staff had provided him with a live interpreter during a series of hospital visits in 2017. Documents allege the plaintiff went to Park West in October 2017 after experiencing numbness and pain in his right leg and foot as a result of a fall, where his request for an American Sign Language interpreter was denied. Without the aid of an interpreter, he was sent home with an antibiotic and ibuprofen following an x-ray. Days later, the plaintiff went to the Lenoir City emergency room after the pain in his leg and foot had increased. Doctors in Lenoir City transferred him back to Park West to see a vascular surgeon and requested an interpreter after determining he was suffering from blood clots. Instead, he was reportedly provided with a video remote interpreting device, which the lawsuit claims was ineffective due to consistent disconnections and blurry pictures as a result of the hospital's firewall. This is a bizarre story, man. Plaintiff underwent a surgery the next day in an attempt to remove the clots and insert a medical device, during which court documents state his daughter was made to serve as an interpreter. Lawsuit claims the surgery left him with severe pain and he was unable to communicate with the medical staff about his condition before he was sent home heavily sedated and with a blue foot. After a November 1st appointment with his family doctor, the plaintiff was then sent to the UT Medical Center where he was provided 24/7 live ASL interpretive services. Less than a week after the first procedure, he underwent a surgery on November 2nd, but was informed on November 5th that he would have to undergo a partial amputation.
Oh!
And says it all That's could have awful. Been avoided if he had just been... I don't know. Like, hospitals, obviously, a lot of resources there. It feels like they probably should. They don't have a guy. Probably hard to have a guy just in-house 24/7, but you should have a mechanism.
Somebody
where
on call.
Yeah, you go find somebody who knows sign language because you might have a deaf patient come in.
Yeah. I know people in my life that were interpreters, sign language interpreters. My sister is. And you pick up a phone. You call somebody and they can be there in like 30, you know, what, the most in Knoxville? What, 45 minutes? This poor guy's lost part of his leg.
Pick up a
and
phone.
And, of course, what's it capped at? $750,000 because we live in Tennessee?
Tennessee.
Which I've heard you say, by the way,
is
the
that
past
what,
couple of weeks.
Is that where you started pronouncing Tennessee is because of the – what was that group? Is it
Oh God,
Arrested
what were they
Development?
Called? Yeah.
Tennessee. Tennessee.
Tennessee. Probably.
The original pronunciation was Tennessee.
Very good, Jake.
Yeah.
Does this guy know how to party or what?
What?
He paid attention
in Wayne's World reference.
Was it seventh grade Tennessee history class?
Yes.
Take me to a higher place. Take me to
Arrested Development.
Let me understand your plan. You ever heard Tennessee by Arrested Development, Jake Miller? Of course you haven't.
Tennessee.
Yeah,
that's probably where I get it from. How do you say it?
Tennessee.
That's how I'm saying it.
No, it's not. You say Tennessee.
Tennessee?
Like you're drinking a bottle of Hennessy. I'm from Tennessee. That is the docket. It's brought to you by
the difference is very subtle.
Fox and Farmer. Subtle but noticeable. Just like the differences in the settlements at Fox and Farmer. Trust me, folks, if you get injured in an accident, you don't want to let a lackluster settlement add insult to that injury. Many people intimidated by the large insurance companies. Well, Fox and Farmer, they know their rights, and they're going to fight for you. They're going to make sure the little guy has a big voice, and they're going to stand up to anyone to protect you and make sure you're treated fairly. Remember it, Fox and Farmer, they don't get paid unless you do. Fox and Farmer, attorneys at law, call today to set up a free consultation, 865-531-9400. That's 531-9400. Online at foxandfarmer.com. Fox and Farmer, attorneys at law, they win for East Tennessee. All right. Just a few more minutes to vote in this Twitter poll. What is the superior eatery? And we are approaching 1,000 votes cast. Right now, 54.8% of the audience says Cracker Barrel. 45.2% going Waffle House. This one is going down to the wire. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take a quick timeout. We're going to be back to wrap things up. Final phone call. Speak now. Forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200. The shocking conclusion of The Drive coming up.
The Drive.
Premier Pool. Wrapping up Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Talked about it briefly on the post-game Twitter spaces yesterday, but very sad to hear that Ron Franklin has passed away. Voice of many great college football games in the 90s and early 2000s. We've lost a couple of really good broadcasters here lately in John Madden and Ron Franklin. I wish that more people would take that approach, the less is more approach, when I'm tuning into my favorite sporting events. But then you've got a guy like Dane Bradshaw who tells us all that he had crabs.
Yeah, I'm still trying to wrap my head around that one.
That one's
That wasn't out of the Madden playbook. Boom! That's like the time I had crabs.
It's like crazy.
What led up to it?
They were talking about his playing career, and he was talking about playing in Memorial Gym. And he was telling about how one time that's what they were chanting. Because Dane Bradshaw, you know, he's the goofy-looking white guy on the team, and, like, that guy's always a lightning rod, right?
Yeah.
Wherever you go in sports. And he said that's what they chanted at him was Dane has crabs. And then he made some comment about how it proved prophetic.
Interesting.
So he brought it up, and then he took it to 11. It. Yeah, it was that's interesting.
Like something had happened on a football season voluntary reaction.
Still love Dane Bradshaw. Still love Dane Bradshaw. I don't know. Maybe that makes me love him more. He was able to say that and admit that and share with us. Although hopefully he didn't share the crabs. All right, wrapping up. on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. I'm not going to call it a final now because these Twitter polls have 24 hours, so we'll wait till tomorrow. But I would be stunned at this point if Waffle House is able to recover. It looks like Cracker Barrel is going to win the great breakfast debate of 2022.
I'm protesting.
One of our next caller has an opinion on this.
I'm really interested to hear what Roger has to say. Roger, Cracker Barrel or Waffle House, what say you?
If I answer your question, how you?
Oh, you're right. Roger. It's probably good to say hello first. I'm sorry.
Hi.
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good. It's hard to say because I like both of them a lot. I like both of them, but it's hard. It's hard.
If Bear and Jake and I are coming over to your house tonight and we say, Raj, we're going to eat, I hope you're hungry, Cracker Barrel or Waffle House tonight, right now, if you had to, if you could only choose one place to go to tonight, which one are you going to?
Cracker Barrel, Polly.
Roger. Come on, man.
Yeah, Roger.
Roger, buddy. I sat next to you when you ate, Raj, you ate 13 pork chops in there that night when we went to wrestling. You remember that?
No, ain't that many.
He called you a liar.
Oh, Roger. No. I've got witnesses.
Nobody's
eating
13 pork chops, Bear. What
are
you doing?
It was like 12 of us in there. Raj, my son, Bino.
What are you doing to my guy? He did not eat 13 pork chops.
That's fine. Roger, you and I can go to Cracker Barrel and get us some chicken and dumplings.
Let's go.
What's your
order? What are you ordering tonight at Cracker Barrel, Raj? What are you in
the left side of the menu?
Probably chicken and probably green beans and potatoes and probably mac and cheese. My favorite.
That's good.
How about you, Russ?
I'm a breakfast guy. It depends on whether or not I want pancakes. If I want pancakes, I'll probably go with Grandpa's breakfast. If not, I'll go with the Sunrise Sampler. It's my go-to, baby. You get the biscuits and gravy, piece of country ham, some bacon, two eggs over easy, hash brown casserole, fried apples.
Yeah.
Great.
Make me hungry.
That'll do it. That'll do it, Raj.
I just want to ask you, team, I know Tennessee played the bird, better, but not, they're not great, but I just want to ask you, how do you fix, if you're coaching the team, how would you fix the team make it play better, man? I know you got a lot of rotation to do, but how would you do rotation make it better? I mean, for making the team offense better, you think how would you do it, Bear and Russell and the team make it better? How would you do it? What would you do to make it better?
Well, the thing that makes that a hard question to answer is we just don't know what. Josiah Jordan James status is, what Folky's status is, and it's just maddening that we just don't know if those guys are healthy and what they have to contribute. But I'd probably play it. I'm not as big on Huntley Hatfield this year as other people are. I would probably de-emphasize him. I would de-emphasize Victor Bailey Jr. I like Meshack. I don't know if I'm counting on him for major minutes. I want to see Powell get going, continue to rely on Ziegler, and then hope that the other guys continue to develop. It's an interesting question, Raj. We're out of time, man, but we'll continue to talk about this throughout the week.
Oh, there's some late-breaking controversy in our poll today. I've just discovered something. Tune in tomorrow. Tune in tomorrow on the drive at 3 o'clock.
Thank you, Bear.
Russell.
Thank you, Jake. Overtime coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.